Osho, seeds of revolution, my most loved gospel on Jesus, commentaries on the fifth gospel of St. Thomas, discourse number 18, given at the Osho Commune International, Pune, India.
Bhagwan. Simon Peter said to them, "Let Mary go out from among us, because women are not worthy of the life." Jesus said, "See, I shall lead her, so that I will make her male, that she too may become a living spirit, resembling you males. For every woman who makes herself male will enter the kingdom."
We will be sailing in rough waters today. But many things have to be understood. And don't be prejudiced either this way or that. Because prejudice makes it almost impossible to understand. First thing, man and woman differ basically. They not only differ, they are opposite to each other. That's why there is so much attraction. Attraction can exist only in opposites. The similar cannot be very attractive. Whatsoever you are acquainted with it. For a man, the woman is the unknown. It attracts, it invokes, it invites. An inquiry arises, a curiosity arises. For woman, the man is the unknown. For man, God penetrates through this world in the shape of woman, because God is the unknown. For woman, man represents divine, because he is the unknown for her. Hence the opposite is so significant. The first thing to be understood, they are different, not only different but opposites, but they are not unequal. They are equal. Difference is there, oppositeness is there, a polarity is there, but they are not unequal. They are equal. Two opposites are always equal. Otherwise, they cannot oppose each other. Second thing to be understood, that the female body exists for a totally different purpose, biologically, physiologically, chemically. It has a different function to fulfill than the male body. And it is so different from the male body that unless you penetrate into the deeper layers of biology, you will not be able to understand the difference. As if they exist in two worlds apart. The woman carries a womb. The very word a woman comes, man with a womb. And the womb is so important that nothing is more important than the womb, because the whole life has to come through it. The whole moving phenomena of life passes through it. It is the very gate into this world. And because of the womb, the woman has to be receptive. She cannot be aggressive. The womb cannot be aggressive. It has to receive. It has to be an opening. It has to invite the unknown. The womb has to be a host. The man will be the guest. Because of the womb, as a central phenomenon in feminine body, the whole psychology of woman differs. She is non-aggressive, non-inquiring, non-questioning, non-doubting, because all those things are part of aggression. You doubt, you inquire, you go in search, she waits. The man will come in search of her. She will not take the initiative. She simply waits, and she can wait infinitely. This waiting has to be remembered, because that will make a difference. When a woman enters into the world of religion, she has to follow a totally different path than the man. Man is aggressive, doubts, inquires, goes out of the way to search, tries to conquer everything. He has to. Because he exists around an aggressive semen. His whole body exists around a sexuality which has to seek, penetrate. All the arms that man has up to now created, even the bomb, the H-bomb, they are just projections of the male sex. Projections of the penis, the arrow, the gun, or the bomb. They penetrate. They reach. They cross the distance. Even going to the moon, a woman will simply laugh and think it is foolish. Why go there? But for men, it is worth risking life, because it is a sort of penetration. Penetration into the mysteries of life. Distant the goal, more appealing. The man will reach to the Everest. He will reach to the moon. He will go further ahead. He cannot be checked. He cannot be prevented. Whatsoever becomes known becomes useless. Then it is not interesting. Deeper mysteries have to be penetrated. As if the whole nature is the woman, and man is to penetrate and know. Man has created science. Women can never be scientific, because the basic aggression doesn't exist there. They can be dreamers, because dreaming is a waiting. It is part of the womb. But they cannot be scientists. They cannot be logical. Logic is also aggression. They cannot be skeptical and doubting. They can trust. They can be faithful. And this is natural to them, because it is all part of their womb, and the whole body exists so that the womb can survive in it. The whole body is just a natural device to help the womb. The nature interested in the womb, because through the womb a life comes into existence. This gives a total different orientation to the woman. Religion can be a sort of love. It cannot be a search for truth. The very word search for truth is male-oriented. It can be a waiting for the beloved, for the lover. God can be a son, a husband, but God cannot be truth. It looks so bare, flat, dry, dead. There seems no life in the word truth. But for man, truth is the most meaningful word. He says truth is God. And if you know the truth, you have known all. And the way man is going to follow is to conquer. The nature has to be conquered. Because of these distinctions, this has been always a problem. It arises before a Buddha, because Buddha's whole method was male-oriented. It has to be so. Because to devise methods is again an aggression. Science is an aggression, yoga is also an aggression. Because the whole effort is how to penetrate the mystery and dissolve it, how to come to know. The whole effort is how to demystify the universe. That is what knowledge means. We have come to know, now there is no mystery. Unless mystery dissolves, man cannot rest at peace. The universe must be demystified. Everything must be known. No secret should be allowed to remain a secret. So they, man devised all the methods. Buddha is a man. Jesus is a man. Zarathustra is a man. Mahavir is a man. Krishna is a man. Lao Tse is a man. No comparable woman has ever existed who has devised any methods. There have been women who became enlightened, but even then they could not devise methods. Even then they followed. They cannot devise, because to devise a method, a methodology, a path, an aggressive mind is needed. They can wait. And they can wait infinitely. Their patience is infinite. It has to be so. Because a child has to be carried for 9 months. Every day it becomes heavier and heavier and heavier and difficult and difficult. You have to be patient and wait, and nothing can be done about it. You have to love even your burden and wait and dream that the child will be born. And look at a mother, just a woman who is going to be a mother. She becomes more beautiful, because when she waits, she flowers. She attains a different type of grace, an aura surrounds her when she is going to become a mother, because now she is at her peak. The basic function her body has been devised to fulfill by nature. Now she is blooming. Soon she will flower. And look at her dreams. No mother or a woman going to be a mother can think that an ordinary boy or a girl is going to be born. The unique is always in the dreams. Few dreams have been recorded. Buddha's mother dreamed. Mahavira's mother dreamed. In India, they have a tradition to record the dreams of the mother whenever an enlightened person is born. But I always suspect that this is how every mother dreams. You may not record, that's another thing, because not needed. Otherwise, every mother dreams she is going to give birth to a god. Otherwise, it is not possible. Buddha's mother's dream has been recorded. That's all the difference is. Your mother's has not been recorded. Otherwise, she was also dreaming. A Buddha, a Jesus. Something unique. Because it is not a question of giving birth. She is going to be born through it. Whenever a child is born, only the child is not born, that is one part of it. The mother is also born. Before that, she was an ordinary woman. Through the birth, she has become a mother. On one side, the child is born. On another side, the mother is born. And a mother is totally different from a woman. A gap exists. Her whole existence becomes qualitatively different. Before that, she may have been a wife, a beloved, but suddenly that is no more so much important. A child is born, a new life has entered. She becomes a mother. That's why husbands are always afraid of children. Basically, they never like, because a third party enters into the relationship. Not only enters, but the third party becomes the center. And after that, the woman is never the same wife. She is different. And after that, if a husband wants really the love, he has to become just like a son. Because this woman who has become a mother can never be an ordinary wife again. She has become a mother. You cannot do anything about it now. The only thing left is you become a son to her. Only that is the way you can get her love again. Otherwise, the love will be moving towards her son. She has attained to the peak, as if the husband, the lover, was just a means to become a mother. Look at the difference. A woman is seeking to become a mother, waiting to become a mother. The husband, the lover, is just a means. For a husband, children are not the goal. The man is seeking a woman to love, a beloved. And if children happen, they are simply accidents. He has to tolerate them. By the side of the road, they are. They are not the goal where the road ends. this will make a difference when one moves on the path towards God. The question has been arising again and again. Thousands of women became interested in Buddha and they wanted to enter on the path. They wanted to be initiated, but Buddha resisted. Buddha tried, avoided. The reason was, the method was basically male-oriented. And to allow women will corrupt the holy scheme. But he had to yield, because he was a man of compassion. And when thousands of women came again and again to be initiated, he yielded. But he said very sadly that my religion was to be going a living force for 5,000 years. Now my religion will only be a living force for 500 years. Because the opposite has entered. Now everything will be a chaos. And this is how it happened. Buddhism disappeared from India within 500 years. It could not remain a living force. Because when a woman enters, many problems enter with her. She brings her womanhood in. And the method is basically for males. If you can understand Buddha's standpoint, Jesus will look more compassionate. Then you will not think him a male chauvinist. He was not. He was not for man against woman. And his method, which the church has completely lost, can be used by both. And the man who raised the question is the man who created the church. Simon Peter is the man who created the whole church, Christianity. And of course he should be the first to raise. Simon Peter said to them, "Let Mary go out from among us, because women are not worthy of the life." Church has remained anti-women. Monasteries have existed where men have not allowed any women to enter. Women seems to be the root cause of evil. The stranger always seems to be the evil. Because you cannot understand. If you can understand, then something can be done. Woman remains the mysterious. And once a woman enters into your life, she starts dominating you. And her domination is so subtle, you cannot rebel against it. Man has always been afraid of this. So those who are in search of some secret in nature or in God would like to avoid women. Because once she comes, she starts to dominate everything. And she wants your total attention. She would not like a God to be there as a competitor. She would not like the truth to be there as a competitor. She will not allow any competitor. She is jealous. So if somebody is to seek, it is better to avoid women. Socrates is reported to have said, some young man asked him what he suggests, whether he should get married or not. And he asked the right man. He thought that he is asking the right man, because Socrates has suffered so much out of marriage. He has got a wife, her name was Xanthippe, one of the most dangerous women in the whole history of man. And he has suffered a lot. Continuously she was nagging and dominating, throwing things at him. Even she poured hot tea on his face, and the half face remained burnt his whole life. So this young man was right to ask this man. He knows. Socrates said one must get married. If you get a good wife, you will be happy. And if you got a wife like me, you will become a philosopher. In either case, you will be profited. Peter said to them, to his friends and other disciples, let Mary go out from among us, because women are not worthy of the life. It was dangerous to allow women in, because then territories become blurred. You don't know where you are going. You don't know what is going to happen. Woman symbolizes the mysterious, the unknown, the strange for man. Woman symbolizes the poetic, the dreamy, the illogical, the irrational, the unconscious for man. Woman symbolizes the absurd. It is always difficult to find any logic in a woman's behavior. She jumps from one point to another. There are gaps. She is unpredictable. One day it happened. There was a long fight between Nasruddin and his wife. And at the end, as it always happens, Nasruddin thought to surrender. It is difficult to fight with a woman. She is going to win. Otherwise, she will create such trouble that it is not worth. The victory is not worth. So Nasruddin thought that why waste 3-4 days continuously? And then one has to surrender. So why not surrender now? So he said, okay, I agree with you. The wife said, no, it won't help. I have changed my mind. And those who are in search of God, they have always been afraid. Because with women you are never certain. And it is not better to make them fellow travelers. They will create trouble. And the trouble is multidimensional. Illogical is their behavior. Unpredictable is their mind. And not only that, a deep possibility to fall in love, a deep possibility to be attracted to them, a deep possibility of sex entering is always there. And once sex enters, the whole path is missed. because now you are moving in another direction. Monks, seekers have always been afraid. Their fear is understandable. And this man, Simon Peter, was giving the direction for the coming centuries that the purity of religion will be lost, the rationality will be lost. So he said, let Mary go out from among us. And Mary is no ordinary woman, the mother of Christ. Even that cannot be allowed. Because women are not worthy of the life. What life? The life that they were seeking. The eternal life. Now, try to understand why women are not capable of that life. The woman lives, her whole focus is natural. She lives in nature. She is more natural than man. In India, we have called her Prakriti, the very nature, the earth, the base of all nature. She is more natural. Her tendencies, her goals are more natural. She asks never for the impossible. She asks what is possible. Man has something in him which always seeks the impossible. It is never satisfied with the possible. Just becoming a satisfied husband is nothing. A woman will be happy if she can be just a deeply contented wife, a mother. Life is fulfilled. Biologists say there is reason. In men there is an imbalance, physiologically, hormonal imbalance. Woman is more complete, she is like a circle, balanced. They say that in each cell are the first egg from which you come, decides whether you will be a male or a female. There are 24 chromosomes given by the mother and 24 chromosomes given by the father. If 24 from the mother and 24 from the father are given, you have a deep balance, a girl will be born. 24, 24. The balance, a girl will be born. But the father has two types of chromosomes. Few, half contain 24 and half contain 23. If a cell containing 23 chromosomes moves and meets the mother egg, then a male will be born, a boy will be born. Because there will be an imbalance, 24 and 23. And this imbalance you can see even on the first day a girl and boy are born. The boy is restless from the very day. The girl is at ease. From the very first day, not even first day, mothers know even in their womb, boys are restless. They kick. They do things. Even in the womb, a girl simply rests. She sleeps. Mothers can become aware whether a boy is to be born or a girl, because a boy cannot be at rest. A deep restlessness exists in man. Because of deep restlessness, he is always moving and going somewhere, always interested in the distant, in the journey. A woman is more interested in the home, in the surrounding. A woman is more interested in the gossip in the near neighborhood. She is not much worried what is happening in Vietnam. It is too distant. What is happening in Cyprus? It is meaningless. She cannot even believe why her husband goes on reading about Cyprus. How it enters into your life. And the husband thinks that she is not interested in higher subjects. That is not the point. She is at ease with herself. So only the surroundings interest her. Just somebody's wife has gone with somebody else. That is the news. Or somebody is ill, or a child is born, or somebody is dead. That is news. More personal. More homely. Just the neighborhood is enough. And more contented wife or mother will not even worry about the neighborhood. Her own house is enough. She feels perfect. And the reason is biological. Her hormones, her cells are balanced. And man has a restlessness. And that restlessness gives him inquiry, doubt, movement. He cannot be satisfied unless he finds the ultimate. And even you don't know whether he will be satisfied or not. Or whether again he will start inquiring something else. This makes a difference. And all religions have existed for the distant. So whenever a woman comes to a Jesus, she has not come in search of God. No. That distant thing cannot be meaningful for her. She may have fallen in love with Jesus. When a woman comes to Buddha, she has not come to find what truth is. She may have fallen in love with Buddha. Buddha has attracted her. This has been my feeling also. If a man comes to me, he always says, whatsoever you say appears convincing. That's why I have fallen in love with you. Whenever a woman says, she never uses the same thing. She says, I have fallen in love with you. That's why whatsoever you say appears convincing. Peter is rightly afraid that even Mary, the mother of Jesus, will create trouble. You are moving on an unknown territory. Better to remain with the boundaries, definitions. Don't allow women in. You can depend on the male mind. You know how it functions. You know the very working of it. Man functions with the conscious and woman functions with the unconscious. So man can accumulate details but can never be very deep. The woman cannot accumulate details but can be very deep in a small, simple fact. Man can attain to knowledge, much knowledge, but not to intense love. Women can attain to intense love, but not much knowledge. Because knowledge is a conscious phenomena, love is an unconscious phenomena. Said Saint Peter, let Mary go out from among us. because women are not worthy of the life. And all religions basically have remained against women because they were created by men. Nothing is evaluated. It is not an evaluation, but simply they were created by men. He was afraid of the woman. He would like his territory clear cut. He would not like women to enter in it. So all religions basically have remained homosexual. They are not heterosexual. And all religious communities have remained homosexual. Monks living in a homosexual society. If they have ever allowed women, they have allowed a secondary state to them. And they have not to decide anything. They have simply to follow the rules whatsoever men have decided to be followed, so that they don't create any trouble. And they have never been given the same importance, the same significance. And they have been put aside. A secondary role. They can be nuns and there can be their own monasteries, but they will never be important. They will not be the deciding factors. You cannot think a woman becoming a pope. Impossible. She will destroy the whole structure, the whole establishment. That's why Peter says, and because he was thinking in terms of creating an establishment, a church, a great organization of followers, the woman should not be allowed. And we should start with Jesus' mother, because once she is allowed, and because she is Jesus' mother, if we give this preference, then other women will enter. And it will be impossible to stop the chaos. Jesus said, "See, I shall lead her so that I will make her male, that she too may become a living spirit resembling you males. For every woman who knows herself, who makes herself male, will enter the kingdom." Jesus said, "Don't be afraid. I will lead her so that I will make her male." What he means? To make a woman male means to make her unconscious conscious. To bring her inner darkness into the conscious mind. So the unconscious disappears and it becomes a conscious whole. Then there is no problem. To make her mysterious, not as a stumbling block, but a stepping stone. That can be done, but a very great master is needed. A very great master who is both a male and female. Who has attained to the inner perfection where his own inner male and female have dissolved and he is no more divided? Who has become asexual? Who is neither male nor female? Only he can help, because he can understand both. So Jesus says, "I will make her a male." What he is saying? Is he going to change her body? No, that is not the point. Body is not the point. There are feminine minds even in male bodies. And there are male minds even in feminine bodies. A Madame Curie is possible. And she can be as perfect a scientist and rational as anybody else. The body is feminine, but the mind is not. And there are males who can be as absurd. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who was a perfect male, he was a great logician, a philosopher. History would have regarded him as one of the greatest logicians if he had remained and stick to it. But then he renounced all logic, became a madman, started dancing and doing kirtan on the streets. He became feminine. Even his face became feminine, so graceful. Even his body followed. He became more curved. The curves came to his body. And he started to love God as a beloved, dancing and singing. That has happened. What Jesus is saying, he is saying that the unconscious of the woman can be changed into a conscious. Then she becomes totally different. And I will do this. See, I shall lead her so that I will make her male. What does it mean by make her male? Males should not think that they are in some higher position. It only means that the inner darkness from which a woman lives ordinarily, she has to live from that because she is more body-oriented. The nature needs her more than man. Man is just on the periphery. He is disposable. Woman is not disposable. Man is not so much needed. That's why you don't find in nature father. Mothers are everywhere, birds, animals, fishes. Mothers are everywhere, but no fathers. Only in human society you find the father, because father is just a formality, a social convention. Father is not a natural phenomenon. They say, linguists say, that uncle is more ancient a word than father. Father came very late into existence. When one man, one woman relationship became established, then father came. But uncle was there. Because all the males were uncles for the child. Nobody knew who is the father. Just as in animals, nobody knew who is the father. But then all the males are uncles. There can be a world again where father disappears. There is a possibility. Because father came into existence with private property. Once there was private property, father came into existence. Then not only he dominated the private property, his private female also. He guarded. Private property is going to dissolve someday or other day. Once private property is gone, father will dissolve. Already in the West, the phenomena has entered. There are many women alone with their children. the father has been disposed of. This is going to grow more and more. But mother cannot be disposed. Nature needs mother more. That's why mother is a more bodily phenomena. Women are more body conscious than men. If they take too much time while they are dressing, that is the reason. You may go on honking your horn, and they are not coming, and they are not coming. And I have heard one woman, I was sitting in the car and the husband honking. And she looked out of the window and said, I have told you 1,000 times that I am coming in 2 minutes. And except she was exact, because for 1 hour she was saying, I am coming in 2 minutes. Why so much? She is body conscious. Man is more mind, woman is more body. One famous actress said once, when she said, people thought she was very humble, moderate. Actresses are not expected to be so. She said, I know I am not a very beautiful woman. But what is my opinion against the opinion of the mirror? What's my opinion against the opinion of the mirror? I know I am not a very beautiful woman, but the mirror says you are the most beautiful. They go on standing on the mirror for hours, looking at themselves. A man cannot even think what is happening. Mullah Nasruddin was killing flies one day, and he told his wife, I have killed 2 women and 2 men, 2 male flies and 2 female flies. The wife was puzzled. She said, how you came to know who is male and who is female? He said, 2 were sitting on the mirror. More body conscious, more body, more grounded. That's why they live longer than men. Four years longer than men. That's why there are so many widows. They always adjust the husband first. Boys are born to 100 girls. But by the age of 14, 20 boys have died. And nature maintains its balance. Just to maintain balance, nature gives birth to 120 boys per 100 girls. Because those 100 girls by the age of 14 will be 100. And 20 boys would have disappeared. If you are so much restless, your restlessness dissipates energy. Exactly, if every account is taken, then woman is the stronger sex than man. She lives longer. She is less ill. She may pretend, that is another. But she is less ill, more healthy. Life is stronger in her. She can resist diseases more easily than man. You look, when there is winter, men are going with their coats and sweaters, and women moving is sleeveless, and nothing is happening to them. More tolerance, more resistance. They are more protected because they are more body grounded. Man lives in his head. more mental. That's why more men go mad, more men commit suicide, less women. They are not weak. Man is more weak because mind cannot be so strong as body. Mind has entered into existence very late. Body has a long experience. But this body groundedness becomes a problem when they enter on the path towards God. In life, in natural life, they are the winners. But if spiritual life is going against and beyond nature, then it becomes a problem. Unless their whole mind becomes conscious, their body groundedness is not going to leave them. They are so much rooted in it. Man is like a bird flying, and they are like trees rooted. They get more nourishment, of course. And whenever a man wants to rest, he has to come in the shade of a woman under the tree to be nourished, sheltered. This is good as far as ordinary natural life is concerned. It is helpful. Women are the winners there. But when one starts to move beyond nature, then the very help becomes the hindrance. Jesus says, "See, I shall lead her, so that I will make her male, that she too may become a living spirit." She is a living body. And the path is longer for her. Think of three things: the living body, the living mind, and the living spirit. These are the three layers. A woman is the living body. Man is the living mind. And beyond the two exists living spirit, Atman. From mind, it is closer to move. From body, a longer distance has to be traveled. But don't be discouraged by it in any way. Because in nature everything is balanced. It is difficult because the distance is long. In another way it is easier. Because a woman is a simple phenomenon. Man is very complex. And his complexities create trouble. From the mind the spirit is nearer. But to take a jump from the mind is not easy, because the mind goes on creating doubt. A woman can take the jump easily. She is body rooted, she is trust, she has no doubts. Once a woman falls in love with a man, she can move with him to hell. She will not bother. Once the trust is there, she will follow. That's why a woman can never think how a man can deceive so easily. How a man can be so faithless so easily, that is impossible to conceive. Because she is never. She is always trusting. And she lives with her trust. And cannot conceive how a man can be faithless so easily. So there are difficulties because body is further from the soul. A gap exists, but there is some help also. That is, woman can take a jump easily. Once she is in love, in trust, she can take the jump. So there have not been many masters from the world of women, but there have been great disciples. And no man can compete with women as far as great disciple who is concerned. Because once they trust, they trust. You look, you go in India, you will see Jain monks. And you look and see Jain nuns. Jain monks will look just ordinary. Their dress is different, but they are just ordinary businessmen. If you change their dress and put them in the market, you will not find any distinction. But Jain nuns are different. They have a purity. Once they trust, they have a purity. Look at Catholic nuns. They are different than Catholic priests, Catholic monks. They are cunning. And you cannot believe whether really they are celibate or not. If they are absolutely foolish, then it is okay. If they have just a little intelligence, they must have found some ways. But nuns, they are celibate. You can depend on them. Once they take the step, they stick to it. So there are difficulties because the distance is long. But there are capacities also which help because the jump is certain. Once they decide the jump is taken, then they don't waver. The body knows no wavering. Only the mind knows wavering. Jesus said, I shall lead her so that I will make her male, that she too may become a living spirit, resembling you males. For every woman who makes herself male will enter the kingdom. This is one part of Jesus' teaching. The other part has not been recorded. The reason may be because there was no woman to record it. This too is recorded by a man. But I know there is another part. And I must tell you, so that it is recorded. In the ultimate culmination, in the crescendo of a spiritual being, the male becomes female as much as the female becomes male. It is not one way. It cannot be, because you both are extremes, opposites. If the woman becomes like man, then what will become of man? He will become like woman. Then opposites dissolve. A woman will have to transform her unconscious into conscious. Her irrationality into reasonableness, her faith into an inquiry, her waiting into a movement, and a man will have to do exactly the opposite. He will have to make his rest, his movement into a rest, his restlessness into a tranquility, into a stillness, his doubt into trust. And he will have to dissolve his reason into the irreason. Then a super rational being is born. From both the sides they have to move. Man has to move from his manhood. Woman has to move from her womanhood, because a mind which is male is half, and the half cannot know the whole. A mind which is female is a half, and the half can never know the whole. Both have to move from their static positions, become liquid, melt into each other, become asexual. Hindus are very clear about it. Their term Brahma for the ultimate does not belong to either gender. In English it is difficult. because only two genders are there. In Sanskrit they have three genders, one for male, one for female, and one for one who has transcended both. Brahm is the third neutral gender. And one who reaches Brahm becomes Brahma-like. Male will not be male and female will not be female. Their oppositeness will disappear. And only then being is complete. Then being is free. Then being is liberated. Jesus must have told the other part also. It has not been recorded. Because whenever we regard according to us. I am saying so many things to you. Your mind is continuously recording. But you will record according to you. You will leave many things. You will not even be aware that you are leaving. This is the problem. You may not be aware. You may not be leaving them consciously. You simply will not record. Your memory will not record them. You will simply drop them. You will record according to you. And in those days it was a greater problem. Because Jesus will go on talking, disciples will listen, and the sayings will not be recorded immediately. Sometimes years will pass, sometimes hundreds of years will pass, and the saying will go from one person to another and then it will be recorded. It will have changed completely. You do one small experiment, then you will know. Gather 20 friends, sit in a circle. Give a piece of paper to everybody. And then write a sentence. The first man in the circle writes a sentence on his piece of paper and says the sentence in the ear of the near one. He listens to the sentence, he writes it on his paper and keeps the paper with him and tells the sentence to the third one. And let the sentence go and being recorded. And you will be surprised. When it comes back to the first person, it is not the same sentence. Much has changed. Much has been added. Much has been dropped out. If it can happen within half an hour's experiment, for centuries words have been carried in memory. Much has changed. It is natural. The other part is missing. Because for a man like Jesus, it is not a question of male or female. It is a question of becoming whole. One has to leave his part and reach to the whole. So don't think that you are a male, so you have some priority. Don't think that you are a male, so God is nearer to you. Don't think that you are a male, so you have nothing to do. You have already done much just by being a male. No. You will also will have to become female. As a female has to become male, you both have to move from your static states and become dynamic, merging into each other. You would have both to go beyond the parts and become the whole. So I would like to tell you that I will lead the males to become females. And I will lead the females to become males, so that both are dissolved, so that the transcendence is achieved, sex disappears, because sex exists under division. Are you aware what the word sex means? The original root in Latin means division. Divide. So when you reach to God, you will neither be males nor females. If you are a male still, you are divided. How can you reach to the whole? So don't make this saying a male ego trip. It is not. They have done that in the church. Try to understand that part has to be left so that you can become whole. You should not be identified with any division so the indivisible can enter in you. Simon Peter said to them, "Let Mary go out from among us, because women are not worthy of the life." This is Simon Peter's mind, not Jesus. And it is bound to be so a disciple's mind. He is not yet enlightened. He cannot see the individual. He can only see according to his. A disciple is half blind. He has started to see, but yet not completely. A master is completely open. He can look at both the sides. He can look at all the fragments. A disciple is still in the world of ignorance of division. This is Simon Peter, his mind. And when Jesus is gone, Simon Peter will become more important than Jesus, because Simon Peter will be more understandable by people. He belongs to the same world. He created the church. Peter became the rock. The word Peter means rock. And the whole church stands, and really he proved a very strong rock. Nobody has proved such a strong rock. Neither a Buddha's disciple nor Mahavir's disciple has proved like Peter. Because the Catholic Church is the most strongest church that ever existed on the earth. But that's why it is more dangerous also. Strength in wrong hands. And when a master is no more, disciples become the masters. They start deciding things. Of course, their attitude can be just a prejudice, a half understood truth, a half baked truth. And remember well, a lie is better than a half truth, because the lie will be exposed any day. But you cannot expose an half-truth. A lie will be thrown someday or other, because you cannot deceive people forever and forever. But a half-truth is very dangerous. You cannot expose it, because it carries an element of truth. And this is a half-truth. It carries one element, that the female has to become male, but this is half-truth. And if you make it the whole truth, it is very dangerous. The other has to be added to it. That's why I said we will be sailing in rough waters. I would like to aid the other half. Every male has to become like female, because he has also to learn waiting. He has also to learn receptivity. He has also to learn non-aggression, passivity. He has also to love compassion, love, service, all the qualities of the feminine mind. Then only, when you are whole, neither male nor female, you become capable of entering into the kingdom. Then you are a god yourself, because God is neither male nor female. He is both or neither. Remember that other part of the truth also. Otherwise you will miss. Nobody is more capable of entering into the divine. Nobody is less capable. There are differences. But on the whole, if you take the account of the whole, everybody is equally capable of entering into the divine. Everybody, I say, is equally capable. But there are foolish people who will always use their negative qualities. Then they cannot enter. And there are wise people who will use their positive qualities. Then they can enter. For example, the feminine mind has both the qualities, the negative and the positive. The positive is love, the negative is jealousy. The positive is sharing, the negative is possessiveness. The positive is waiting. The negative is lethargy. Because waiting can look as if it is waiting and it may not be, it may be just lethargy. And the same happens with the male mind. The male mind has a positive quality that he inquires, goes in search, and the negative quality that he always doubts. Can you be an inquirer without doubt? Then you have chosen the positive. You can be a doubtful man without inquiring, just sitting and doubting. One philosopher in the Second World War went to the front. Then came his girlfriend's letter, and he was waiting for it. She was sitting on a beach. One couple was more there in the background, happy couple, very loving to each other, in an ecstasy. And she was sitting alone, depressed, sad. For a moment, he felt very happy that his girl is sad for him. But next moment the doubt came that who is this guy who has taken the picture? Then he was worried. Because there must be one more who has taken the picture. Who is that guy? Then he could not sleep the whole night. This is how the negative doubt functions. A man has a positive quality that he is rest. He is in search of rest, and a negative quality that he is restless. Because he is restless, there is no need to get identified with it. You can use your restlessness as a jumping board to attain a restful repose. You have energy and urge to do something. You can use that urge to become a non-doer. You can use that urge to be a meditator. The negative has to be used in the service of the positive. And each has got both. Wherever is a positive quality, just by the side exists the negative. If you pay too much attention to the negative, you will miss. Pay much attention to the positive and you will attain. And male or female, both have to do that. Then happens the most beautiful phenomenon in the world. That is an indivisible person. A one unity. A inner cosmos. A symphony where all the notes have become helpers to each other, not a noise, but they give rhythm, colors to the whole. They make the whole, they create the whole. They are not against the whole, they are not fragments anymore. They have fallen into a unity. This is what Gurdjieff calls inner crystallization, or what Hindus have called to attain to the self, and what Jesus calls entering into the kingdom of God. Enough for today.